Hello. If you're able to, please close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. And a deep breath out. Relax your shoulders. Unclench your jaw. Take another deep breath in. And another breath out. You can open your eyes now. My name is David, and welcome to Mindful Moments. This is a momentous day. It's a small moment, not a big moment, but it's a moment nonetheless. And moments should be acknowledged. We are at 10 episodes of the Mindful Moments podcast, and I feel very, very happy. I said I wanted to do this every week, and we're already at 10 weeks. In some ways, it's gone very quickly. In some ways, it feels like it's been exactly 10 weeks, because I've been putting a lot of effort into this podcast, into the editing, the recording, the sound, etc. But it's all been more than worth it. It's given me a real new creative lease of life, and it's connected me to so many more people as well. Every single week I put out an episode, I'll get the loveliest comments. I'll get people reaching out to me, talking about the things that they've resonated with in that week. And I really, really appreciate the effort that everybody else goes to listen to this and to engage with me and to let me know when they've enjoyed something or when they've needed to hear something or when they've just been happy that I'm doing this. So thank you so much for sticking with me up to episode 10. Hopefully there are many, many more moments, big and small, to celebrate together. And I thought that we could start a new tradition as we are at episode 10. Today, I would like to answer 10 questions. Every time we get to another 10 episodes, I will add another 10 questions on top of the 10 questions. So episode 20, 20 questions. Episode 30, 30 questions. Hopefully we get to episode 100 and do 100 questions. Episode 1,000 and 1,000 questions. As long as people listen, and as long as we get to numbers that end in zero, we will keep answering more and more questions. So today, 10 for 10. 10 questions for episode 10. Last week, I did a Q&A on my Instagram story to ask people to ask me questions for this, and I picked 10 strong candidates, I feel, because answering questions is always a good way to let people know about you. But today, we've only got 10, so they had to be hard hitters. Serious candidates. I don't want to waste your time. You never waste mine. I don't want to waste yours. 10 serious questions, good questions, insightful questions for us to answer together. So without further ado, 10 for 10, let's start with question number one. What do you think future you wishes present you was doing more of? That's a very good question. I think future me would not be happy with how little I live in the moment at the moment. I am someone, if you haven't gleaned that from the previous 9 episodes, who is always thinking about what I should be doing. Thinking about the things that build me into a better person in future. Thinking about taking care of myself and building habits, all for long-term benefits, which is a good thing. I don't regret that whatsoever. I am glad that I'm invested in the future version of myself. Sometimes, when I have my head down and I'm working hard towards a target and I'm working hard towards being a better version of myself, I forget to look at myself as I am now, look at my circumstances as they are now, look at the things around me as they are now, and be truly appreciative and grateful and happy at what's going on. I am much better than I used to be. I'm much, much better than I used to be. Partially because I made a conscious effort to factor in time to do that. When I journal, when I think, when I pray, I always think about my current circumstances and what I'm grateful for. I'd like to be able to do that more automatically without having to put myself in a position where I sit down and actually actively think about it. I'd like it to be a more subconscious thing that I'm always thinking, wow, I'm so grateful to be where I am and doing what I'm doing. So I think future me wants present me to be a little bit more present sometimes and to always be grateful for what I have. Not to say that I'm not, but I feel like that's an area where I could improve a little bit. So yeah, that's what future me, which is present me, was doing more of. And the wonderful thing is I'm present me. So articulating that is very helpful because it's something that I'm gonna be making sure that I'm doing more of. Excellent question. Question two, what's your favorite song/movie/TV show? That's a good question, just because I feel like those answers tell you a lot about a person. My favorite song is No One Knows Me Like the Piano by Sampha. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Sampha is my favorite artist bar none. No One Knows Me Like the Piano is the most gorgeous song. It's the only song that's ever made me cry at first listen. I'm really drawn towards songs that are just piano and a voice because that's how I started creating music. And yeah, it's a beautiful song. Go and look up the story behind it as well if you have the time. Just a gorgeous song, my favorite of all time. My favorite movie of all time is Fantastic Mr. Fox. There is something so moving about the animation, so comforting. I love things that make me feel like a child. I love things that take me out of the stresses of my adult life and make me really feel like I'm young again. And Fantastic Mr. Fox is one of those. And there's so much intention and room for interpretation about that film. The dialogue is just incredible. I want to watch that film tonight. Fantastic Mr. Fox, my favorite film. My favorite TV show is House. House MD, old show. I watched it 6 or 7 times during secondary school. Haven't watched it very much since. But Hugh Laurie was the main character. Hugh Laurie is one of my favorite actors. Fantastic, stellar actor, incredible actor. British playing an American person, which British people tend to do very well. And yeah, House MD, great quips, well-written, funny, well-paced. At least that's how I felt when I was in secondary school and I was watching it. But yeah, that's my favorite TV show. Question three. What's the most important life lesson you've learned so far? As you can tell, I didn't really think through my answers to these because I wanted this to stay as authentic as these episodes usually are, where I don't think too hard before I make them. I just come here and talk. What's the most important life lesson that I've learned? That it is best to do things my way. It's best for things to be my decision when I do them. I'll explain. When someone gives you advice or guidance and tells you to do something a certain way, you will do it for them or because they've told you to, but they don't suffer your consequences. So someone can tell me to live my life in this way, and I will follow their advice to the letter, but I am the one who has to live my life. And if I make a mistake, I'd rather it be my mistake that I made because I was following what I wanted to do, rather than make my decisions for somebody else and then have to suffer the consequences if things go wrong, because then I feel like I've lost out twice. I didn't do what I even wanted to do in the first place, and things didn't go how they wanted to do, or how I wanted them to go, rather, sorry. So yeah, I think that route takes a lot of accountability, and I am a very accountable person. I stand by my decisions. Even if they're wrong, I know why I made them at the time. But yes, the biggest life lesson I've learned is that I need to make my own decisions and stand by them. And I live by that strongly. Question four, when do you feel the most beautiful? For me, it's when I'm cooking. Beautiful question. That's one of the nicest questions I've ever been asked. When do I feel the most beautiful? When I laugh. When I laugh is when I feel the most beautiful. My mom and my dad both have very distinctive laughs, and amongst their friends, they're actually known for their distinctive laughs. And what's interesting and funny is that my siblings and I also are known for our distinctive and interesting and funny laughs. And when my siblings and I are together and we laugh together, it's it's a great time. It's very fun. And you know how we all have, as in people, we have different laughs for different situations. When I laugh, and I mean, I'm not thinking about what anyone thinks. I've just let go. This thing is so hilarious to me. And I laugh until I cry. That's when I feel at my best, because I'm a happy person by nature. I love exhibiting and sharing joy. And laughter is one of the purest forms of that. So when I laugh, I think is when I feel most beautiful. Thank you for that question. Really lovely question. Question five. What is your favorite thing to do when you're sad to make yourself feel better? That's a really good question. I like to have an indulgence day. If things are down, like if I'm in the dumps, like in the mud, nothing is kind of working to pick myself up. I like to give myself an indulgence day, a day where I do whatever I want, whatever I need. I want to order food, I'm ordering food. Something that's been sitting on my wish list for ages. Wasn't really sure. I could have thought, I'm getting it. I am going where I want to go, doing what I want to do for a whole day. Everything that I want to do emotionally, I'm just going to do without thinking about consequences. We can't live like that forever, but I don't live like that 99% of the time. So if I'm really down, then I will do that. And that's also a way of me acknowledging my own feelings and saying to myself, okay, I know you're feeling down. Let's do something about it. And it's okay to feel down for today. Let's do what we need to do. So yes, I like to have an indulgence day when I feel down. Surefire, works every time. Question 6, what is something you love unconditionally / at any time? Easy and obvious answer is my siblings. It's so interesting having siblings because especially when you grow up and you become adults, you are just separate adult people who happen to come from the same parents and share experiences for X amount of years as you grew up. And I think that's why a lot of people aren't actually friends as adult siblings, because you don't have to be. You can be, two people can be raised in exactly the same circumstances and turn out completely differently. But my siblings happen to be some of my best friends. Lovely, lovely people. I love them very, very much. And we haven't always got along all of the time. We get along great now. But there's never been a moment where I felt like I didn't love them. That's never been a question. If anything, when I've fallen out with any of them, the struggle has been, I'm angry at you, but I love you, which makes this complicated. But the love has never gone anywhere. And that will never go anywhere. I would do anything for them. So yes, my siblings, that is who I love unconditionally. Question 7, what's a childhood memory you think really made you into who you are, lesson or not? When I was in year 5, so that is 9 or 10. I was 10 because I was one of the older people in the year. My birthday's in December. When I was in year 5, I was 10, and we went on a school trip to Oxfordshire. And it was, my primary school would do that every year. When you were in year 5, you'd go to Oxfordshire. And for most of us, it was the first time we'd been away from our parents overnight. So as you can imagine, it was 3 days. 3 days, 2 nights. You can imagine how exciting everything was. And on the first day at dinner time, we were so rowdy. Our year group was so rowdy. Everybody was misbehaving. When I say, I mean everybody. Like even the quietest person was kind of, everybody was misbehaving. It wasn't just me, is the point I'm trying to make. And the teachers got really angry. We got shouted at. You know when teachers shout? And teachers who don't usually lose their temper shout. And everyone goes silent and everyone's upset. That's what happened. And as everyone left the dining hall of the place that we were staying, the head teacher, Mr. Paul, held me back. And Mr. Paul got this close from my face. And he said, David Larby, up until this year, you have been an exemplary pupil. You have been polite, kind, respectful, courteous. And this is what happens sometimes to children when they get up to the end of primary school, they get to year 6, is that they start to think they know everything and they start to think they have to behave like everybody else. And they start to think that what the people around them think is more important than the things they know to be true and they know to be correct. You know how to behave. You know how to treat the people around you. And instead, you are being disrespectful and rude and making jokes because you thought that it was entertaining other people. And so you chose to do the wrong thing. Now I was 10. And as I said, I was singled out to be told off like this. Everybody, and no one else was even around. Like all the other kids had gone off to bed. And I'd been kept back to be shouted at like this. And the thing about Mr. Paul as a head teacher, we had 400 children in our primary school. And Mr. Paul knew every child's name every year. And bear in mind, every year, kids would leave the school, kids would join the school. And Mr. Paul knew every child's name. He was a fantastic head teacher. And he knew all of us. And him singling me out to tell me off like that, I wanted to cry when he was telling me off. And I went to bed and literally stared at the ceiling for, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours. just so upset, but also just thinking. And I realized that he was telling me off that strongly simply because he thought I was worth the effort and because he really needed me to learn the lesson he was trying to teach me. And he was absolutely correct. He was absolutely correct. I, as a child, was very much the kind of person who I could make people laugh. I knew what to do to make people laugh and make people like me. And if I wasn't led correctly by the authority figures in my life, I would have very much turned into the person who'd do anything to make people like me rather than sticking to the things I know are good for me and the things I know are right. And when I came down for breakfast the next morning, Mr. Paul said, "Have you got our old David Larby back?" I said, "Yes, Mr. Paul." But I'm so grateful to him for that. And that was a lesson. I'm very grateful to him for that. Don't get me wrong. Over my adolescent years, there were many times where I had to be checked and remember that lesson. But that really imprinted itself in my brain, is one of the reasons for me being who I am now and making sure I always do what I believe in and what I think is the right thing, rather than trying to do anything to make people like me or for popularity or anything like that. I know that being true to myself is far more important than any of those things. So thank you, Mr. Paul. And yeah, that's something that happened in childhood that made me who I am. Question 8. How did your girlfriend make you feel? Lovely question. I share my girlfriend every now and then on my social media. I am very aware of what social media can be like. And my girlfriend is a much more private person than I am. She's a fantastic photographer, videographer. So she's more behind the camera than I am. I'm in front of the camera. She's behind it. Every now and then she lets me share her, so everyone knows who she is and that we're together. But I don't tend to put her in front of the camera or post her very often, just, you know, when it arises. I do share about my life and she's one of the central parts of it. So there's no way that she'd never be on my pages or anything like that. But yeah, those who know, know. Real ones know. How does she make me feel? My girlfriend has shown me how happy I'm capable of being. And I never knew. I didn't know that a person could access this level of happiness. I didn't know. And in that, without anything else, she has given me the most precious of gifts, because she's shown me how good life can be and how good life can be constantly through whatever circumstances I'm going through. To know that I have this wonderful thing gives me a level of happiness that I've never known before. And I will forever know that I'm capable of being this happy, no matter how bad things seem. I can be this happy. And right now, I am this happy. And that's something I'm just immensely grateful for. She gives me such a sense of peace and security. I know that I can feel whatever, I can say whatever, I can be working through whatever, I can have whatever emotion, and I can bring that to her, and we can talk about it, and she will give me the time and the space and the patience and the effort to understand me, understand why I feel certain ways and why I would like to do certain things. And we constantly communicate, and she is never short of time and effort for me. And I hope and feel that she would say the same. And having that just means that no matter what I'm going through, there's such a level of assuredness in everything that I do, because I know that I have that in my life. It's such a stabilizing presence. And it makes me feel so peaceful, so secure. And she fills me with excitement. We have been through several stages of life together, several important stages of life together already. And there's the rest of life to experience. There's so much of the world and life and the human experience to experience together. And I am so excited to be able to do that with her. She makes me feel very alive, very at peace, and very, very happy. That's how she makes me feel. Question 9. How did you begin the self-love, positive vibes journey that you're on, especially as a man? It's a very good question. I'm a very emotional person, as I've said before. And when I became aware that my emotions weren't going anywhere, no matter what I did, I knew that it was important that I worked on making sure that I was able to deal with the bad emotions and doing everything I could to make sure that the good emotions were more frequent. And I constantly examine every area of my life to see what I can do to make myself feel better, essentially, because it's my job more than anybody else's, as much as the people around me who love me, and as much as relationships are, it's important in relationships, both parties put in effort and all that kind of stuff. The effort that other people put into me can never be more than the effort I put into myself. It's my responsibility to make me happy and to feel positive. So I put a lot of effort into it. And I realized, I think especially, I'd say when I was 13 or 14, I actually had a friend once at school say to me, "David, you're always depressed." They didn't mean it in a serious way. It was a bit of a throwaway comment for them, but to me, it really hit me. I just kind of thought, wow, I really don't want to be that kind of presence around people. And also, I don't want to feel like that, because they were correct. I did feel really down around those times. I was going through a lot at home and all that kind of stuff, but I did just think, I would like to be happy more than I'm sad. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't think that's too much to reach for. So when I was around 13 or 14, from then, I really tried to do my best to make sure that I can be happy more than I'm sad, to put it in the simplest terms. I think especially I realized as a man, towards the end of my time at university, between the ages of 22 and 24, when I was 22, I was living in Paris as part of my university degree, and I lived in a studio apartment. And I lived by myself. I had I really struggled during that year. I had a lot of stuff going on. And I went through a real depressive episode. And when I was 24, at the end of university, I had a friend from school who had suffered from mental health issues pass away. And the movement around men's mental health has really grown in the last few years. And I've read into and listened to a lot about that, because it's very important to me. And I think every person, whether they have a platform or not, has people who know them and look to them. So I really feel a strong duty to set some kind of example. But I think on top of that, especially as a man, I think it's all well and good to be able to tell your friends, "I'm here for you anytime, you can talk about anything." But I think that really needs to be reflected in your behavior for it to mean anything. If I tell my friends that they can tell me about anything, but then my friends see me ridiculing people who cry or being rude to people who show emotions, then when they feel like that, they're not going to think about what I've said. They're going to think about how they've seen me act. And if they've seen me disrespect people who are brave enough to talk about and show how they feel, they're not going to believe me enough to come to me in the first place. So they will never tell me that they're suffering. And I would never, ever want anyone who's close to me to be suffering and to not feel like they could tell me. So in short, it's very important to me and to the people around me that I am working on myself, working on my positivity, but also showing how I feel and talking about how I feel, so that people know that they're not alone in going through these things. I go through them too. And to know that there is no judgment whatsoever if they were ever to come to me and talk about anything like that. Yeah, it's been very important to me for a very long time, and only continues to grow more important. And again, that's another reason I'm so grateful to do a podcast like this and have people listen, because it makes me feel like my efforts are being heard and going somewhere. So I really appreciate that question. I appreciate everybody who's listened and watched, for letting me be myself and listening to me talk about how I feel. Question 10, our final question, a big question. Do you think failure to live a happy life is failure to live a good life? In other words, is happiness success? Success is different to everybody. I know this question is asking me specifically what my definition of success is. I believe contentment is more important than happiness. You're not always going to be happy, but you can definitely maintain a level of contentment throughout whatever emotions you're feeling. I believe episode 3 was contentment over happiness. And I really don't think not being happy is a failure. We are but one thing in this world full of things bigger than us. And because we know ourselves and we're always on our personal journeys and we're always with our own thoughts, we can navigate our way through everything the world puts in front of us. But we are not strong enough to affect everything that's out of our control. We can't control everything. Nor should we be able to control everything because we don't know everything. So we couldn't create the perfect lives for ourselves if we tried. We'd be operating based on the knowledge we have, which is never enough. Because there's so much that's outside of our control, being happy isn't always our choice. We can do things to maximize the possibility of our happiness, but we can never decide whether we're happy or not. And so how can it be a failure if it was never in my control? How can I have failed if I'm not happy, if it's not always my decision and it's not always my choice and it's not always something that I can manage? I think a successful life for me looks like having some kind of positive impact on anybody. If I were to do this podcast and only one person listened every week and said, I really enjoyed it this week, I would feel like I'm having a positive impact. Because there are so many of us on this earth, we forget how precious and important each individual one of us is. So if I can have a positive impact on one other person's life and not harm anybody, to me, that's a successful life. And whatever happiness comes along the way is a bonus, it's a plus. But if I can find a place of contentment, positively affect the world around me, I think to me that would look like a successful life. So no, happiness is not a failure ever. And so no, happiness doesn't equal success either. It's wonderful, it's good, I wish it for everybody all the time. But happiness isn't equal to success, not to me. That brings an end to our 10 questions. Thank you to all who asked. Keep an eye on my Instagram as I approach episode 20, because I will ask. And next time I'll need 20 questions and I need 20 good ones. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much to everybody who's listened through the last 10 episodes. May there be many, many more. Whatever you're doing this week, I hope you have a wonderful one.